Works, I suppose we could say works versus law. However, there is no conflict between the two, so I choose not to use that title for this particular lecture. It has been written and stated by Paul that the works of the law were a schoolmaster, and that is very true, and a shadow of those things that would come. But the works of the law are not, I repeat, not the works that Christ intended that his followers participate in, but the freedom of the new law, which is the new covenant. And many people forget to shift gears, and they hear ministers wanting to pack churches with non-doers, that all you have to do is have faith. Well, that's true. That's a start. Intuitively, when you accept Christ, that first salvation, it's yours for free. It wasn't free to him. He paid for it with his life. A terrible price. Paid for our short fallings. But that part is free to you. But there's not one of you in here that if you were a businessman or woman, or you wanted someone, let's say, to clean your yard, and you had to come up with a handful of pretty good little bucks, you know, to hire that person to clean your yard and garden. And that person said, "You are my employer. Thank God for hiring me. I have faith in you." And sits down with a cup of coffee or something and never lifts a hand. How long will you keep that person in your employment? I think not very long, because it means that if he or she's not going to do it, that you're going to have to do it. So what good is that person for in the first place? Absolutely good for nothing. Now, our Father is very natural. And when he takes someone as a servant is simply supposed to serve. It is written throughout the Word. Number one, let's take Matthew 24. There will be two women grinding at the mill. The subject matter in the Greek is being deceived by Antichrist or taken by Antichrist. One will be taken from the grinding. What is the grinding? The grinding of grain for bread. What bread? The bread of life is what's insinuated there. They leave off working with the true body of Christ, the bread, and go whoring after Antichrist. They stop working. But they are working in that meal. Not sitting there, "I have faith in the sweet by and by and the flyaway wonderland that God has participated in where no one does nothing." Doesn't that sound exciting? Really exciting, all right? Well, people are not usually happy with nothing to do. So what actually happens, some of you will continue working for the true bread of life, body of Christ, up until the true Christ returns. And that work, though it falls in many, many, many different categories. It can be, as you've heard me say, a person is really down. They're not even a Christian. And you smile at them. And it lifts them. They feel the Christ in you. That's works. Christ said in Luke chapter 19, starting about verse 13, "Occupy till I come." That word "occupy" in the Greek doesn't mean sit down in a chair and stay there. Just occupy that spot. It means to do business, to work, to trade with his truth, to see what you can buy with it as far as the minds of unbelievers. It means to produce, be fruitful. Jesus made a saying one time that I love it. He says, if all else fails and you can't figure it out, test the fruit of the tree. So one of these people that are holy, all right? And I'm not knocking Christianity, but between you and I, we know that only God is holy. We're not, all right? Man in the flesh cannot be holy. There's nothing the only thing that's holy about him is the Christ that he has within his own heart and soul. But this person then says in their mind and their heart, you know, I will just sit here and occupy. What's their fruit? I don't know. Look around the chair. Look at what have they done? Do they produce any fruit? No. You must do something before fruit is present. Is it not true concerning the fig tree? Dig it, dung it for 3 years and then see if it'll produce fruit. If you don't put something in your mind to fertilize it with the Word, with the acts of Christ, how are you even going to know what to do? You can't learn a new profession or any profession if you don't go through a period of training. And unfortunately, we in the flesh, at least I'm still in training. Some of you may have graduated, I don't know. But I'm still in training and learning what our Father's Word says to us. What does it take to please Him? Because if you don't please Him, you're not blessed. And you're never going to be blessed. So it becomes very important that you become a doer. And it may be just to plant seed. It may be taking part in a ministry such as this, naturally, I would say, that spreads seeds from 22,000 miles in space and on shortwave things that go all the way around the world, planting those seeds. You're a part of it, then. You're a doer. So what I'm saying is I don't want anyone to become a religious fanatic because of this lecture. It isn't hard to please God, and our main work comes after Antichrist appears on earth anyway. But up until that time, there is a time of preparation. So let's get into our Father's Word. Faith is probably the most important thing in the world. Faith is connected very closely with belief. If you don't believe in something, naturally you can't have faith in it. Because to you, in your mind, it probably doesn't even exist. And faith is so beautiful. But if you have faith in something, you're going to do something about it. That's just human nature. So when you see someone that says they have faith, but they have no fruit, I'll use the word works, then I doubt their faith. You understand where I'm coming from? If they don't plant a seed occasionally, if they have a beautiful truth built up within them, and some person comes up and asks, where are the dead? Do you know I'm grieving? And if you can't step in, trained from the Word of God, and say to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, comfort yourself, for they are with Him. You see, that is fruit, beautiful fruit, the words of Christ taught by a servant that continues that teaching, that thing that Christ came here to do. Okay, let's go to the Word. And let's see how that there must be a marriage or at least a balance between faith and works. Not works of the law. He's talking about your works. Open your Bibles with me to chapter 3 of the 1 Corinthians letter. Corinthians were a pretty hard bunch to teach, I guess, the way Paul went into certain details, and we'll pick it up in verse 6. They, old Apollos had come by, and some of them said, I belong to Apollos' church, and others another church. And they were kind of beginning to listen to men rather than listening to the Word of God. And you can do that if you're not careful. You can begin to take more interest in the man that teaches the Word or brings it to you than the Word itself. And that's a shortfalling. So let the Word do the teaching. Okay, verse 6 of chapter 3. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You must believe that, dear one. Whatever you do, many of you get discouraged planting seeds because they never seem to grow. That's God's business. If He gives an increase in that, in other words, if that person sees and or hears, then that's wonderful. If not, it's very possible that a later time, when maybe you don't even know that person, and maybe you've moved totally across the country from them, but when the right time comes for God to give the increase, that seed will take, and it will grow, It might even be during the reign of Antichrist when you're delivered up to witness and they hear the words that come from your mouth and remember that you said before the fact. That's what a prophet is. This would happen. So be patient. God gives the increase. When you've done the best you can, be proud in the fact that you tried. And in God's eyes, it says it's perfect. And if He wants it to bear fruit, it will. And if He doesn't, you don't want it to either. 7. So then neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. 8. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. It's one work. In this ministry, when you're in it, you and I are one. You receive just as many rewards as I do on Judgment Day. There is no difference, and that's the way it should be. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, wait just a minute. Let's reword that as it is commonly taught, it would seem. Every man receives his reward by his own faith. I don't think it says that. There's no way in the Greek that you can get faith out of labor, except that if you labor in a labor of love, that proves your faith. That documents it. The word labor is very easy to understand. Almost any language you put it in, it means we work. All right? It's right down there where the rubber meets the road to say, get it done. For we are laborers. We are fathers? No, we are laborers together with God. With who? With God. Think about that. Think about it. You are a fellow laborer with the Creator of all things. Hey, that's pretty heavy stuff. That makes you somebody, doesn't it? Really somebody. Not a slough off. Not a no good for nothing. But somebody. You're a fellow laborer with God Himself. Ye are God's husbandry. That means you're His garden caretaker. Where fruit is produced, you get out there and hoe a little, I started to say cotton, but whatever He wants you to chop, you chop it, all right? Ye are God's building. Within that you are one and you make up the many-membered body. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. It's something we do we haven't really earned. Christ paid the price and we collect it. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. We're going to make the whole house. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Don't you go over here and put a window in this thing that's 4 inches short in every direction. That means you have a truth that won't reach. All right? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What is He? He is the living Word. Your blueprint to the building you hold in your hand or you're looking at it. His Word. That's the blueprint. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. This is the way you can kind of judge yourself on this. You're going to be tested by a consuming fire. Who is that consuming fire? It's God Himself. And if what you have done is pleasing unto God, it is gold. Not only after it is tested with fire, it's precious metal. Well, maybe it's silver. That's still considered precious metal. After the burning, it's still prettier, brighter, and a very precious thing. Precious stones. Hey, they're pretty common. You can find them most anywhere. Some of them even speak. That is to say, they bear a message, a sign, written on them, of course. And they're pretty. Gems are real pretty. They'll stand your works, if you're really sincere, they'll stand the test of God's fire. Wood, hay, and stubble. If it's wood, you're going to smolder a bunch. We begin to get in the category here of people that produce no fruit. They say, I have got the truth. I'm hiding it in my own little head, like under my own basket. I'm not sharing it with anybody. I'm not going to help anybody. I know I'm homeward bound, and why should I care about anyone else? Get ready to do a lot of smoking and maybe even be turned to charcoal. Hey. I don't know how many of you have ever seen an old haystack burn, but ooh, burn, baby, burn. And stubble is even worse. Whew. Man, I mean, you get a little breeze and there's just nothing left but a bunch of ashes. What does your work amount to? Beloved, these are very serious things. Because you're going to stand not too distant future before our Lord and Savior, who did not hold back from paying an awesome price or work for you. I'm not trying to put anybody on guilt trips. But when someone needs a kind word, you better stop and think. You want to make about $1 million today? Give them a kind word. And get ready to collect. It's for real. I don't like using monetary terms, but I can think of no other way to grasp it just right off the top of my head. You want to make about $1 million? Just help somebody with a kind word and a smile. You'll collect. God will pay off. He'll give you your reward. But if you turn and look the other way, get ready to burn, baby, burn. Does that mean you're going to hell? No, you're going to feel you're burning right there in heaven, smoking up like a storm right there in front of everybody. Not going to hell, but how embarrassed. Think about it. We're going to be there, and it's not too far off. How about you? Every man's work shall be made manifest, be made known. For the day shall declare it. What day? God's day. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And God is that consuming fire. And the fire shall turn every man's work. Faith? No. Work. Of what sort it is. He's going to test your okra, friend. Now, there's nobody going to come down on you or anything and say, I knew it all the time. That sucker wasn't getting nowhere, going nowhere, and had nothing, and wasn't going to have nothing up there. No, that's not Christian-like, and nobody's going to do that to you. But they don't have to, because you're going to feel it within your own bones, though you won't even have bones in a spiritual body. You're going to feel it, and you're going to know, I could have been somebody. I suffered through that painful flesh body, fighting for every scrap. And I could have maybe even done better there. But I certainly could have laid aside enough reward and labor that I could have been rich here. I could have made that $1 million that day by witnessing to that friend just a kind word. Boy, God's dividends are high, friend. He really pays off in blessings. Not only here today in the flesh, but in the future. It's important. 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Wood's not going to last too good. Charcoal kind of is going to be outdated then. There won't be too many barbecues except the great big one. Hay is absolutely zero and stubble worse yet. You get no reward for ashes, friend. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. You're the loser. Well, I didn't think there was going to be anything like that in heaven. You better believe there's going to be something like that in heaven. Just because you have faith and believe and will make it to heaven does not say what the condition of your soul will be when you step out. Listen to this. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You'll make it. You'll be there. A lot of people say, well, there are different levels than to heaven. No, not really. There's nobody going to feel bad about your own reward other than yourself. You set your own level, wherever you are, today, but especially then. But the rewards of today are collected there. And how precious it is to know that along with faith, you didn't let that old terminology of the law is dead and the works of the law are dead. Yep. As far as blood rituals and ordinances go, they're deader than a hammer. But your works as a Christian had better come to life. I know in this group I can say that they already are living. You're doing, I think within our ministry, we probably have a ministry where the workers accomplish more per unit than any other ministry, quite frankly, that I know of. And I thank God for it, because it's going to be a fine, wonderful day when we stand with those rewards which say, produce love between you and the Father that loves you. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's drop down to verse 19. What is Christ and our Father and yourself? What's this all about? How can we put a yardstick to this? How can we better understand it? Why did he die on the cross? What is all this faith and believing and works and knowledge and rewards? How does it all come? What applies to what? Verse 19, to wit, this is chapter 5, to wit that God was in Christ, yep, even on the cross, reconciling. What was the purpose? Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, not blaming necessarily, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's to say, if you want to receive it. Don't ever take that and run and say, God's going to reconcile all things. Some things don't want to be reconciled, and it's going to be ashes. Now, verse 20. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech ye by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This is what faith does for you. When you sin, you can be reconciled to God by saying, Father, I repent. Please forgive me. I've had a change of heart. That's what his price on the cross was paid for. Christ's blood on the cross can prepare for you not 1 ounce of reward other than the reward itself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Christ's blood on the cross will not put in your account in the book of life not one reward other than the reward itself of salvation. That's what it's about. Do you understand? But that's baby milk. That's the first step. That's only the start. And there are people that will say, well, if I can only get in. If I could only get in. It's all right for someone to say, I'd be happy being even a doorkeeper. Yeah, that's whatever. If we're all one, doesn't matter what we do. There's no levels. But go there with a reward. Christ died on the cross with God within him, whereby when you repent, your sins are forgiven and you're as pure as a new white rose in the early morning. For he, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. You know, that's a terrible thing that he had to do that. Just doesn't seem quite fair, does it, that the only individual that could live perfect had to end up having the sins of the world piled on himself. But he did it because he loves you, because he cares. He knows we couldn't do it. Therefore, making the reconciliation, the forgiveness of sins, possible, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that because he forgives and we are reconciled, that we can be righteous, which means right and just, in somebody, a good person. There's really no other way to be a good person. Good old boy, well, let's continue right on, chapter 6. What then, after you accept that reconciliation, what do you become? Let there be no mistake about it. Verse 1 of chapter 6. We then, as fathers. I don't believe that's what that says. We then, as workers, together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. That you don't just receive salvation and say that's enough and waste your life. Let it become as nothing, ashes. He said, that's what we don't want you to do. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee, helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Accept it. That's the first step. Good enough. But never forget, you must continue working at that. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. In fact, on the contrary, that the ministry might grow. The ministry of who? Christ. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses. You're going to have them. Well, boy, I've sure got distresses today. I've got enough without taking on more. Uh-uh. There'll be distress, but if you believe, he'll take care of it. He's like his yoke, when you put it on, makes the work light. You know, can you visualize a small leather tug around an ox's neck, and when he bites into the plow, it cuts into the flesh, and he bleeds, and by the end of the day, his old shoulders are so swelled, or a horse's neck where the collar goes, that he's injured, absolutely almost ruined. I can remember back when I've seen some pretty sad cases of collar blisters even, with the collar on. When you take the yoke of Christ on, it puts a cushion between you and the depression, the work, everything. It makes his load and your load light. All right? A little more problems here. A little bad news. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. That means in hunger, even, is what he's referring to here. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, the Ghost, by love unfeigned, unhidden, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. You're supposed to have it on. Righteousness in this sense would probably be better translated justification, meaning he's always fair and he's always just, on the right hand and on the left. In other words, you have the sword in your right hand and the shield in your left. That's kind of the way you do business. Stay ready. You never know when an opportunity might come forth. And again, remember, I'm not saying you should become a religious fanatic, all right? But you never know when some friend might come up to you and say, "Hey, man, what a night. What a tragedy happened to me last night. And I am low. I am really low." Then by having the sword means God's word. His word, his tongue is the two-edged sword that cuts Satan right out from under, you see. That you're prepared to be a servant, to be a worker after you are reconciled, saved. 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report. In other words, you're going to both be blamed and praised. In good report, as deceivers, you're going to be called false prophets, false teachers, and yet true. You know it's true. He knows it's true. As unknown, you're going to be unknown by the world, yet well known, and may I say, by God. As dying, and behold, we live, we have eternal life, and no one can take that from us. As chastened, God's going to correct you, and you may even feel injured at times. And not killed. You're going to live. You're going to live over it. Next time you get on one of these poor me baby jags, and it just seems like, oh, poor me, everything goes wrong with me, just stop and take a deep breath and know that if you'll put your faith where it's supposed to be, there'll be a turnaround. You're going to make it. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, you should be in your heart, my, at the rewards. As poor, yet making many rich. You know, it's wonderful to make people rich with rewards of God. You have that power. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Think about it. What a time to serve the living God. All the fields are ripe for harvest. And there are so few, the laborers, those that will still work, most of them out on some float-around Betty-by-story land rather than doing the work of God. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. We love you, and we're trying. Ye are not straitened in us. You don't strain our relationship, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. In your own inward parts, you're going to destroy yourselves if you're not careful. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Return our love. Return God's love. Return that love to a part of the family. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? You don't want to be popular in the world necessarily unless it serves God's purpose. But you want to be popular with Him. You want to be well known to Him. You want to be well known in the sense that you can get it done, that you're a can-do type person. Some of you might say, well, I wish God would use me a little more often. Well, do you know what? When you look at your own children or look at the family you were raised in, your mother and dad, when something kind of rough came along and it was time to ask a child to do a certain thing, which one are you going to send? Or if you have a group of employees and you need to make a very good showing at a place, the company may depend on it, who are you going to send? You're going to send a doer. And you're going to send someone that is capable, proficient, adequate, and a can-do type person. And if God isn't using you the way you think He should, by the great values that you have bestowed within yourself, then become a doer. And He'll begin to use you. When you begin to produce fruit that it shows you can use a little more fertilizer, then He'll use you. All right. Well, let's go to John for a minute here, okay? The book of John. St. John. Let's go to chapter 14. I go to prepare a mansion for thee. Remember that old chapter? Well, let's look at it in one other place here. Let's start with the 10th verse. Christ is about to leave them, and He's talking to them. In other words, this is not Paul teaching now. This is Jesus Christ. St. John chapter 14, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father? Do you notice how we've come across that saying that the Father and I are the same when it comes to works or paying for something for you? And the Father in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Turn that around the other way. Christ knows what's in your heart, but it sure makes it easy when you're putting the works forth enough that He knows by your works. Hey, I got a dandy there. Satan, you go ahead. If you bark their old shin, if you think you can get away with it, you may bark their shin, but they're going to be right back in your face. They are your enemy. And, you know, it's really something when God can look at you and say, there is an enemy of Satan. I can count on that child. That child is a can-do type person when it comes to dealing with negativism and those trying points in this world. I can count on them. They're not going to let me down. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works, there's that word again, that I do, shall he do also. Say that he's going to float around up here and play the harp. Did Christ play the harp and float around? I think not. I think not. I think he worked very hard while he was here. He said, if you believe on me, you're going to do exactly like I did. You're going to work. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go into the Father. I'm going to be gone. The work is left up to you in that sense. That is material. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In other words, I don't care what you ask for in prayer to do my ministry. You understand there is a restraint on this. Not a Cadillac, not a bird dog. Unless God's beginning to use bird dogs to spot unbelievers, you'll just continue on. I think some men can justify that. But you will do His work, all right? And greater things. You know, think about this ministry, and God forbid that I would ever brag upon this ministry, because we don't get as much as we are to get done, but we're still scratching and trying. Even sometimes we have to put on the mud chains to dig out of the mud, but we are can-do type people. We don't stay stuck, all right? And God is blessing us for that. That one way or the other, we get it done. We don't just talk about it. We get it done. And incidentally, God's blessings. What a time to make an announcement. But if God so wills, you be praying about it. we will be in more homes than any even of the major ministries in this nation in a very short time by something that is in that God is dealing with even right now, giving the opportunity for those to hear the works, your works. You ask for it, God will give it. What I'm saying is you couldn't see a better example than yourselves, your own ministry, right here and now, that so few could do so much from an old roller rink. Hey, what difference does it make? The word is precious, whether it's coming out of the gutter of the street down there. You know, it's still the word of God. I mean, if we had to stand there, and that's called a bar ditch, really. I think that sounds better, doesn't it? If we had to preach from the bar ditch, it would not take away from the word of God, if you know what I mean. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know why? He's a can-do type individual, and he expects you to be a can-do type person. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I can do that or not. Well, try. You're never going to know if you don't start out. You may fall on your face, but your father says, Hey, that's my boy. That's my girl. They're trying. And he'll reach down there and get you and lift you up and put the old things in line there. And the next thing you know, everything falls in place. Why is it that easy? Because God made it easy for you through the Spirit. You ask for it, he'll give it to you. So when you're in his work, be ready to receive his reward. Well, I don't think there's probably anyone in the room that had any doubt that I wasn't going to end up with one of my favorite people, old James. It would seem I've been having to defend old James a lot here lately. But I think many people misunderstand James. Right after the book of Hebrews. I want to pick old James up with about the 20. First of all, before we even start studying in James, right after the book of Hebrews, rather, I think I said before, right after the book of Hebrews, who is it written to? You've got to pay attention. Verse 1, chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he a servant of? The old law? The old book? No, he's a servant of the Lord and Jesus Christ, and they are both one. To thee. Do you know what that means? That's who this is written to. It's not necessarily written to anyone else. These things apply to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. He says, I got some good news for you. There's been some changes. The law is gone. We have a new law, though. It's the law of freedom. Freedom to do what? Repent. The old law burns you. The old law condemns you. But the freedom of the new law, do you know what a covenant is? A testament, it's the law. The New Testament is the new law. And it is the law of freedom. Why? You're set free on reconciliation. Those things we spoke of earlier. Where did I want to start here? Well, let's take verse 22. Old James, I like it. He gets right to the point. But be ye doers of the word. Did it say the law? No, the word. What word? The New Testament, the gospel as well as the old. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's all you're going to do. You're going to deceive yourself if you don't become a doer as well as a hearer. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. What that means, a man that is a hearer and not a doer is like somebody that gets up and looks in the mirror in the morning. Hey, looks pretty good, a little sleepy-eyed, needs a shave, or need a little lipstick on. Well, it'll be better after I brush my teeth. That's all right, but you do see the picture in the mirror. All right? Now, this is what a man is like. It's kind of like an image, all right? 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. In other words, the minute you walk away from that mirror, what happens to that man? there's nothing there to make a reflection, and it fades away off the mirror, and there's nothing there. And that's what you're like if you're not a doer. Nothing. Like a picture in a mirror that just went gone. Being a doer of the Word keeps the Word fresh in your mind. Again, don't want to develop any religious fanatics. Just want you to be a common, normal doer of God's Word. Because being a doer of God's Word makes you a doer of your own work and makes you a prosperous person, not only in heaven, but here, a can-do type individual. You know, I don't mind someone asking me, when we're going to do so-and-so. Well, how are you going to do that? Right. Well, I'll explain one time. And if they, well, how are you going to do that? Get out of my sight. Just get away from me. I'll do it. We'll get it done. But I don't want to have to put up with your negativism while I'm doing it. All right? In other words, when you see these traits within yourself, when things in life itself seems to be just too much, it's impossible, then get a hold of yourself. Think of the mirror. Where's your picture? Is it smiling? Is the picture there reflecting the accomplishment? The very spirit of your soul reflecting that you're a can-do type person? Or just an image that fades away into nothing? Because that's what you are in God's book when you are not a doer of the Word. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now, did that say the law of the Old Testament? Did that say the law of the Torah? Uh-uh. Was that a liberty? Is there any, by any stretch of the imagination? Well, that's going a little heavy, perhaps, because if you obeyed every one of them, yep, it was the law of liberty. But there was never, except Christ himself, one that was able to do that. It wasn't. It was a law of bondage. So what is this perfect law of freedom? There's only one perfect, and that's Christ, and that's to say his law of freedom. On repentance, you're free. You have a new start, but you still have the new covenant that you must abide by. Planting his seeds, being a doer of what he did, an ambassador, a can-do type person. Okay, verse 25. No, we got that, didn't we? Okay, perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work of, and this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's the way blessings flow, my friend. And I think that's fair. When the work's accomplished, God's always there with payday. But if you haven't done the work, what pay do you deserve? Zero. No blessings for you, because you're not a doer, all right? If any man among you seem to be religious, oh yes, I'm holy, and bridleth not his tongue, in other words, not God's word, but his own words, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain, and it's empty, it's like the wind. Without self-restraint. What is our self-restraint? This word, the guideline, you always stick with it. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Do you know what it is? This. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, to understand that, well, that means we all better get out of here and go out here and find some child that's fatherless and visit them, and those that are afflicted, we better get to it. Who was it written to? It was written to the 12 tribes, was it not? Chapter 1, verse 1, that were scattered abroad. What happened to those 12 tribes, or the 10 specifically? They don't know who their father is on the basis that he is their father. They are fatherless. So the duty specifically written in depth in this chapter is that you will go to those that are of those tribes and lost and plant that seed as well as sowing it to others. Do you understand? By others, I mean Gentiles, whatever. But you will specifically call recognition to those that are lost and fatherless and afflicted, knowing not the blessings of God that are written in this word concerning their duties, whereby they can be doers of what it is they're supposed to do.
Well, what's that?
Well, whatever it says the tribes are supposed to do. I mean, from Abraham on up. It's the law of freedom and liberty to know His Word. Now, we're getting pretty close down here where I think that I've hit this old nail so many times that it may bend over and fall sideways on me here in a little bit. But I want to give it one more shot, okay? Let's go on to chapter 2 of James here, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and understand the word is he says he has it, not that he does, he says he has it, and have not works. He's not doing anything. He's not producing any fruit. God will do the same thing to him. You will to if you've got an orange grove and you're spending a lot of money irrigating that little rascal, and you've got an orange tree that's not producing any fruit, it's not being a doer, what are you going to do to it? You're going to saw it down, uproot it, and throw it out. Better think about these things. That day is coming soon when you're going to be tested, your ability as a doer. What have you done? Smile at someone, give them a good word. If there's been a family death, teach them where the dead are so that the pain is alleviated and you can rejoice that they're in the bosom of Abraham and are with the Father. How precious that is to have that ability. How precious it is to be a blessing to other people rather than a poor me baby to yourself. Those are works. And have not works, can faith save him? Well, yeah, he can get by. We read that earlier, did we not? Faith in Christ, if he truly believes, he'll make it. By his skinny, how is that old saying? By the skin of his teeth, I'll say. And I don't believe I've seen anybody with skin on their teeth really recently. Or maybe I shouldn't have said that. Be that a dentist, is that right? I'll go to a dentist and find out here. 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. Now let's stop and think about this. If a brother, who is this written to again? To the 12 tribes. What is starvation for one of the tribes? Not this, you read Amos, the book of Amos. The famine of the end times is not for food, but for hearing the truth of God's word. All right? That's why they're starving. So feed them. Be a part. Feed them. Naked? Why? I'll tell you in a moment. As you all well know, if you've studied with me any length of time, our apparel in the spiritual sense is our righteous acts. So we are not righteous. We try. But that still performs the material. So you teach them and you make teachers out of them, whereby they themselves can begin to weave together a coat to cover their nakedness and shame for not being familiar with our Father's Word. That's what it's talking about. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. If you don't plant one little seed to get their attention, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? If you don't help them with enough truth, maybe to make them, it may change their whole life. Boy, I've seen it happen time after time after time. Change their whole life to know, hey, this word isn't written to somebody way off over there. It's written to me. And then you have a part, and you can take pride in it. This great nation and what it stands for. That it also is a part of the Word of the living God. And that you become a child of a living God, a doer, a can-doer, somebody. 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. It takes both, my friend. James was very accurate in saying that because it is not just the teachings of James, it's the teachings of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Paul, the teachings of the Word. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Why? If you don't have faith in something, you're not going to put any work out towards it, my friend. You've got to believe in something, if nothing but yourself. To know you have the ability to do a work if you don't have faith in it. It's a waste of time to you. And so it is with God's work to many. They say, yes, I have faith, but they don't believe it because they won't work. they feel there's nothing to it. Deep down in that cavity, that 10% of yourself that you never share with anyone else, not even your own mate, within that cavity, there lies doubt. Is it really true? Get rid of that doubt. And that's what faith is get rid of that doubt in that cavity, that 10% that you will never share with anyone else. It's different in different people. Some people have 10%, 15, 20, and if you get over 20, you've got mental problems. You're an introvert to the point that you can't communicate with anybody, and you can't get along with anyone if you can't communicate. I'm sidetracking and digressing. I apologize. But even in that cavity, get rid of that doubt and know that He is real, that He did a work. If you can't take it by faith, look at His works, what He did. This is one of the reasons we work on documentaries, is to show the works of the people, even in this nation and the world. It has brought many people to the Word when they see it on the stone, that God's Word is true. So share with them. Share with them. It takes works to document faith. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe there is one God, and they tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Absolutely deader than a hammer. Why? It's got no fruit. Have you ever watched a little old peach blossom or an apple blossom, especially in this part of the country, well, any part of the country? If a freeze comes along, you know, it's so beautiful. The flower is beautiful. The little embryo there that's going to be a big old peach is so plump and so good. And a freeze hits it, and what happens to it? It turns brown, and it twists, and it dries, and it swivels, and it falls from the tree. It's no fruit. It produces no fruit. And it must have fruit to be of value. Think about it. That's the way that God looks at you to a degree. He knows. God knows that we all fall short. And God, yes, even He knows what's in that little 10%, in that cavity that we never share. In passing, I want to go to the book of Revelation. I wasn't going to, but the scripture just comes to mind, chapter 14. Do you know the only thing you can take with you on your journey from this body to heaven, I'll use that terminology, understand. There's only one thing you can take with you, and it's written in Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, from their fading, their labors and their works do follow them. You can take your works with you, my friend. That's the only thing you're going to take. What works? The works you've done through faith. For faith, we do not take away one iota of light from that brilliant light of faith. But the faith creates a great light that lets you look upon your works to see really what type of person you are. Turn on with me to the 19th chapter. In closing, one more verse or two. We're at the end here, and we're at the time of that wedding. Remember the 10 virgins, all right? Let us, the 7th verse of the 19th chapter, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. What does that say? It's here. Meaning, you're there. The 12th hour is come. The wedding's ready to take place. And His wife, didn't say bride, did it? No, His wife. Which wife? The one He chose before the foundations of the earth. His elect hath made herself ready. How did she make herself ready? By faith only? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen, the fine linen is what? God's going to tell you here, what, so you don't stand naked. He's going to tell you what this linen is made of. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And to be properly translated from the Greek, it's the righteous acts of the saints. That's what makes the material that will be your garment. What is the picture, a storefront, if you will, and there's a mannequin in the window. Look at your acts toward God. And how well is the mannequin clothed? Think about it sometime. All right, bless your hearts. I am so proud of all of you. I know it was unnecessary to do this message for this particular group. But I received so many questions from people out in the television audience on works, because they cannot divide the works of the law from the workings of Christ. And if you don't believe that Christ has a workings, then you believe in a dead Christ. So be about your Father's business, for the Father and the Son be one. And in Him come the rewards that make you rich, 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 very rich indeed, for an eternity, not just for a little old lifetime. The choice is yours. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the Word. We thank You, Father, for the privilege of working for You. Father, let us know what it is Thou would have us do. We know we gain that through the Word, the blueprint, Father, as we build this precious building, Thy body, many-membered body of the end times. Thank You in Jesus' precious name. Amen.